We're going to go into the next round. 4 for Yakim, which goes to a king. A 6 for Jean-Francois, and a king of spades for Corolla. Let's see. She actually has a pretty decent pace. She's got a pace of 8. Jean-Francois, though, has a pace of 14, so he's going to be able to catch her if she tries to run, which I don't think she's fully completely aware of. I think animalistic panic is beginning to set in. She turns and tries to fire one-handed, but she's going to run as well, so let's see. She only got 4 paces, so this is -2 for her shot. -2 against Akeem, so it's -4 total, but that explodes. It's a 13 -4, that's a 9, it's a hit with a raise. Shit. She turns and fires. But that's a lot of ones. Now, the shot impacts, and Yakim, though, seems to ignore it. She goes to turn and run, but Yakim is just a little bit faster. He comes running up again, firing as quickly as he can, reloading. So this is -2 plus his rapid fire. That's 2 hits. What is that noise? 2, 3. None with a raise, though. So, first shots begin. It's 12. Pardon me while I do math. 12 and 13, that's not enough. Second shot. So they both explode. So that's 12. 12 plus 9 is 21. Oof. She takes another wound. And with this last shot that managed to hit, that explodes. It's 11. 11, 17. Ooh, with 5. Rapid fire. He starts taking advantage of a wounded animal. She drops into the heavy mud. 3 wounds as these soaking holes begin to just spray her lifeblood out into the floor of the forest. Yakim starts stalking up, more like a prey, prey-driven predator than a someone who was just hiding from explosions mere moments before. We go now to Jean-Francois, who's seeing all this. He's going to take his shots. -2 on these, of course. But he does not get a single shot that seems to work. We go now to the last, potentially last round of combat. Jack, a 10 and the 5. So Yakim goes first. I think at this point, he's not seeing a wounded animal. He's seeing his weapons and everything that had been taken from him today. This really shitty job that he had taken that should have gone a lot easier than it has. He's going to take his shots, spray him again. That explodes. So he gets one hit with a raise. But of course, with the way things are going, this might be more than enough. No, not at all. 4, 5, 6, 7, that sucks. Bullet still impacting into her heavy metal armor, bouncing off and around as she is now trying to crawl her way out to get back up onto her feet. Let's see if Jean-Francois, murderer. That explodes. Oh, that'll do it. Yeah. So he hits once, no raise. That's 8. 10, 11, that's not enough, though. These lower-powered kinetic weapons, they're great for unarmored targets, especially, you know, in Rift's world. But now, with the amount of heavy armor that's available, it becomes harder and harder to actually find something that can penetrate heavy armor. As we go, she is going to try to get up and run. 4, which her pace is reduced from 3 wounds to 5. She rolled a 4, so she gets to take 1 extra pace than she had before. Leaking, she begins to try to... She's actually going to try to stealth as she tries to save her own hide. This is a -3, though. That's a 2. Now, a 3 for Yakim, which evolves into an 8. The jack for Jean-Francois, but the ace for Grola. She's going to try to... Now her pace is still reduced to 7. She's outpacing Jean-Francois, but she can't seem to get away from the incredibly quick-footed Yakim. Jean-Francois is going to take his 3 shots. Oh, 2 of them explode. Both with raises. 3d6 damage. That's not enough. That was all ones. Oops, all ones. Let's see. That's 6, 12. That's not enough. The bullets just continue echoing off of the heavy armor. I'm going to give... Yeah, what is his notice? His notice is a 6. So I'm going to give him Keem. He stoops down, and tucked into the belt of one of these creatures, he finds his vibro short sword, which he had turned over. And with his pace, 14, I'm going to give him... Oh, yeah. No, he can run 22 inches squared on a battle map. So given the fact that each one is supposed to be about 2 yards, I mean, he's running at like, you know, 15, 20 miles per hour. He comes sprinting up. Now, this is multi-action penalty, or not even multi-action. This is a sprinting penalty, but he is going to try to stab her with a mega damage vibro short sword. So this is a fighting check. He is going to, let's see, it's a D8. A 1 and a 2. He comes up. He draws his vibro short sword. And as he approaches up to Grola, she lashes out these heavy claws on her gauntlets, knocking the short sword aside. But now, of course, these long rifles are no longer of any use. And in a straight strength check, well, truth be told, Yakim might be in over his head. We'll find out. We go, it's an 8 for Yakim, a 2 for Jean-Francois, and a 9 for Krolla. She knows that, of course, if she turns tails and run, then he's just going to stab her in the back. So she's going to try to fight. Now, this is a -3 because of the wounds, and also a -2 because of his his enhanced juicer ability. So that is a 6 and a 3, so reduced by... Yeah, so that's a 2. That does not beat his parry. Yakim, with his D8 fighting, returns the swing. That is an 8, and her parry is a 7, so that is a hit. The Barber Short Sword is strength plus a D8 of damage. His strength is a D10, so it's a D10 and D8 worth of damage. That explodes. Nice. So that's a 9 plus 8 is 17. 18, 19. Oh, just short. He tries to drive it upwards, so he's going for a killing blow into the centered breastplate. And with both hands, she kind of knocks it down. The weapon itself not seeming to gain enough purchase to really get her to put her guard down, but she is still leaking vital fluid. So we come back around to the two, Jean-Francois. He is going to, you know what he's going to do? He's going to run, see if he can catch up. 5. He gets a little closer. Multi-action penalty, but at least the running die penalty. He is going to try to taunt her. He has a D10. Now, the thing is, of course, she has wounds, which means that her response, her effective saving throw is going to be a -3. He rolls a 4. Her spirit is a D6. Shoots her wild die, -3. That explodes. Yeah, that's enough. Maybe it's a translation issue. Maybe it's just the fact that she's now fighting for her life. But as Jean-Francois comes running over, you know, just take her ears off, yes? But she twitches her ears in frustration as she is now wrestling back and forth with this high-powered juicer wielding an incredibly powerful sword. This is 2, another 2 to the queen. Jean-Francois gets a king, and Grola gets the 7. Not willing to truly let this go, He's not going to run. He's going to take his full pace, though, and he is going to try to taunt her again. It's a d10, so he rolls a 6. Minus 3 on her return. Oh, no. So he gets to choose. Let's see. That was a 6 versus a 2. So that's with a raise. So she is both... I haven't been rolling her shaken die. We'll just assume that she made it. But so now she... I'm going to say she is vulnerable and distracted. Or vulnerable and shaken. Jean-Francois just goes, "Don't forget, she still has your gun. Make sure that you take off her arms so she cannot run away with it, yes?" And for a moment, actually, you see there's a little bit of fear and hesitation. She realizes, of course, that this weapon that she's in love with, is going to be taken from her as she dies. And so now she has both the shaken and the vulnerable state on her. So what that means, vulnerable, is Yakim gets a +2 to his attack roll against her. So he's going to take his d8 for his fighting die, and this gains a +2. Which is good, because he only rolled a 4 on his wild die, so that is now a 6. But that's not enough to beat her parry of a 7. She keeps batting the sword aside, not entirely sure what's happening here, but she is also, given the fact that she is shaken, she now has to make her spirit check to see if she can even get a turn. 3 minus 3, no, she's remained shaken. We come back to the top of the order. It's a 9 to Yakim, a 7 to Jean-Francois, and a queen to the queen. Let's see if she becomes unshaken again. 4 minus 3, no, she's still shaken. She's stuck in the death spiral. The more wounds you take, the harder it becomes to unshake. And of course, with no bennies, she can't just pay to get rid of it. So she does not get a turn this round. Yakim comes up, trying again to just lop her arm off. That explodes. Oh, 12. It's with a raise. So he gets to take his Vibro Short Sword, which is his d10 plus a d8 plus a d6. Make sure I have the right dice there. 10, 15. No, that's not enough. Chipping off against the armor, he actually leaves sparks as he begins carving through, but the armor is incredibly tough on this creature. Jean-Francois, or actually she was... No, this is against damage, that's right. Actually, I need to check something here. What is the armor piercing on a Vibro Short Sword? It is 8. She has a toughness of 8. Actually, that... Let me make sure I got this right. Toughness of 20, but she has 8 armor, and a Vibro Short Sword has an armor piercing of 8. He probably should have killed her already. But, okay. She stumbles forward, raking those claws towards his face. He steps back carefully, and with kind of a practice motion, steps backwards, pirouettes almost, and then drives straight forward. There's a... As the Vibro Short Sword begins to cauterize and burn inside her form. The way these weapons work is just vicious. As a charge is driven through the actual item, the weapon begins to take on almost a invisible field. This invisible field of energy allows it to effectively almost shift. It begins to cut through molecular bonds and atoms. But instead of leaving a explosion, a nuclear detonation where they could occur, instead it just leaves clean cut. So, Jean-Francois comes running around the corner just in time to see a blade driven into the belly of this creature. Yakim steps back with a practice motion, 2 fingers up, as the creature just drops. And Grola.
Oh. No.
Falls forward. Yakim steps up, kicks her aside, sees that her arm is limp right now. She's coughing. Shouldn't have taken my fucking gun. I had a ticket. And he drops the gun check ticket on her, grabs his JA-9 variable laser rifle, and his NG-56 light ion pistol. Begins putting them, cleans off the edge of the blade, puts it back in its sheath, runs the gun, throws it over his shoulder, and puts the pistol in its holster at his thigh, just as Jean-Francois comes around the corner and goes, "Oh, is she dead?" "Yes, I don't know. She fought like hell, though. But, in the end, everybody does." And he turns, and as he kind of clutches against the hole in his gut, he still hears that beeping. A reminder, of course, that he has effectively used up just a little bit more of his already pretty short life. The wounds, the cuts, the burns, and the holes in his armor. Body underneath heals, but for how much longer? It seemed to take a second before it actually kicked in last time. He picks up the assault rifle, looks it over, goes, "This could be handy. You should keep yours too." Jean-Francois. "Oh, for real? I figured you wouldn't let me keep one. Is okay?" He goes, "Look, man, you saved me twice. I'm not exactly going to get pissy at you for this now." He goes, "Oh, okay. I'm not going to complain." So, all right. Let's clean up some threads here, huh? So, first things first. Let's see. Get the weapons. Check. Escape the trap. Check. So, now we don't know the state of the vehicle yet, so that might be a thing. So I'm not going to roll on any tables or anything to determine if we are going to run into Grola. I don't think Tolva's going to be coming back. He took a hit that should have killed anyone. But Grola has a possibility. So here's what I'm going to do. She got hit with a mega damage weapon. We're going to play by the same rules. She's going to roll her vigor dive, D12, to see if she bleeds out right now. So she has -3, and she's taken 4 wounds. Okay. So, let us go through the rest of the end of the scene here. I'm going to pull up these cards and get these back into a deck. I'm going to clean up the minis that now fill everything in front of me. First things first, fate chart, chaos factor. So, this is kind of a mixed bag here. The end of our scene at the last session was definitely not in their favor. And if it wasn't for some truly lucky rolls from Jean-Francois, then I don't think that fight would have gone nearly in their direction. That grenade, that was pretty critical. But the fact that we've lost, that Yakim lost one of his strain, I'm actually going to put the chaos factor up. So it's going to go up to a 6. Okay. Now, we also cleaned up some of the... threads that are going on. So let's see, what do we still have here? We have threats list. Return the creepy doll. Yep. Fixed vehicle. We don't know the state of it. Now, one of the ones that I think is fair to say now is going to be return Jean-Francois to town. Let's see. What other threats would have possibly come up? None that I can think of. I think that was kind of like the self-revolving storyline there. So for our character list, Phelan didn't factor anywhere into this. Jean-Francois did. And let's see here. Grola and Tolva, they're not really issues anymore. The bandits, without their leader, we don't know what's going to happen with them. But we're going to leave them on the list. As a matter of fact, we'll put them in again. So, but I think that's a pretty solid list there. Now, I think the start of our next scene is going to be Jean-Francois and Yakim returning over to the vehicle. So the first thing is we're going to roll d10. That is a 4, which means, of course, it's under our fate chart, or under our fate check. I'm sorry, under the chaos factor. And if I remember correctly, a 4 leads us into a change scene. So we're going to pick back up on a new scene. The scene adjustment, let's see, a chaos factor of 6, we rolled a 4, so it is an even, which means we are at an interrupt scene. Let's roll a d10 to determine. It is a 1, remove a character. Okay, so let's go to our character list. We're going to roll, let's roll a d4 to determine which of the two 4, so it's on the second half. And now it is a d10. Come on. Huh. Okay. So we come in on an interrupt scene. There's a moment as they come to the car, and Yakim goes to, get into the car, opening the door, and he realizes, as he kind of steps around, Jean-Francois, what are you doing? And he looks back, and our Quebecian is standing there, the assault rifle in his hand. He goes, Look, that was too much for me. That was intense. Is this how your life usually tends to go? Yakim, I don't know how it tends to go. Sometimes it's this. Sometimes it's easier. Sometimes it's harder. I can't tell you which way it's always going to go every day. He goes, I have no intention of being a sidekick for you, eh? He goes, we seem to work pretty well there. I don't get this, man. And Jean-Francois goes, look, I left a motorcycle right over there. I turned out to not be too terribly bad at it. And if it's okay with you, you offered to take me back, but I have a way to get back on my own. I promise I will not steal any more jobs from you. And Yakim kind of narrows his eyes again. He goes, what the fuck are you saying, man? You gonna get in the car? You gonna take the motorcycle? You gonna follow me back? Or are you leaving? Jean-Francois goes, I think this is a good chance for me to, to go. All right, man. Yeah, whatever. Be safe, right? And Jean-Francois goes, you're a big sweetie. Oh, make no mistake. I will keep an eye open for you, Mr. Yakim. I do not think this is the end of getting to know you. I just think that this may be a good chance for me to make sure that whatever befalls you, I may be around to pick up the pieces later, yes? But that, and he points over to what is still a small, like, burning copse of trees and the dead and dying still lying around, that electrical fire smell coming off of what's remaining of the power armor, smoking and cindering in its own crater. He goes, That was fucked up. And I am not built for this kind of thing. I'm a thief, yeah? Then a thief does not get involved in shootouts. But I'll be seeing you around. Yeah. That sounds good, man. He watches as the motorbike, he picks him back up. The heavy engine. As he takes off. Nikim stands there with one foot in his car, kind of just watching him go off.